Good day, everyone. I guess it is actually daytime here instead of the early morning of wee hours, and we're continuing now with A Treatise on White Magic, program number 28. We're on rule 3.7, seventh program on rule 3, and we're on page 119. We've been dealing with all of the many factors that produce the temporary differences among human beings, depending upon their development in time and space. And we are aware that a rounding out process is also occurring as we move along, but it may not be leading to any kind of identicality between the different emanated units, as even our planetary logoi are distinct, and our solar logoi and beyond. But at least it will assure that no evolving human being is devoid of the other aspects of divinity, which are also important. So as the Tibetan summarizes, he basically says, all these factors and many more produce, and he's listed a lot, really, produce differences among human beings, and in sizing himself up, a man must needs bring them into consideration, as we all have to evaluate where we stand and what our equipment is and where it is developed and where it may be deficient. And of course, the solar angel, angel of the presence, will assist us with this by choosing some incarnational environments and contacts which will help us make up for our deficiencies. When we hopefully will be doing an analysis of Letters on Occult Meditation, a wonderful little book which is by no means simply preliminary, and it will tell us about how the guiding superior forces work to produce the rounding out of the individual. It should be borne in mind, says the Tibetan, that a disciple of any of the masters will have his peculiar equipment, his individual assets and deficiencies. I mean, this is clear, and it certainly distinguishes each of us from every other because of our unique evolutionary experience over many lives. He can nevertheless rest assured that until the path of knowledge has been added to the path of love, he can never take the major initiations, for these are undergone on the higher levels of the mental plane. Well, that's an important statement, and it tells us something about why we want to study with such a teacher as Master DK, who is replete with knowledge that he can convey to us in a very sound manner. He can nevertheless rest assured that until the path of knowledge has been added to the path of love, and then again after the knowledge comes universal love, we know that as well, he can never take the major initiations, for these are undergone on the higher levels of the mental plane. Well, there are some preliminary initiations that occur even before the great monastic initiations, which begin with the birth. Sometimes the birth and baptism are called major initiations because they're in the monastic series, but other times they are called simply initiations of the threshold, and the major initiations begin with the third and fourth degrees, which are indeed taken on the higher levels of the mental plane. Beyond that, fifth and sixth initiations, there is no causal body to deal with, and perhaps these initiations are taken within the cosmic ethers. Until the path of light is united to the path of life, the great transition from the fourth into the fifth kingdom cannot be taken. Now, when does this transition occur? Is it at the first first degree. Let's see, first initiation. And let me see if I can, because the word degree is very important, FIDG, and we'll call that the first degree. Well, in some ways, we are told that we enter the Hall of Wisdom at the first initiation, and we are actually entering the fifth kingdom. But to truly enter that kingdom, I suspect one must be an initiate of the third degree, a full entry into that kingdom. Okay. Is that the first initiation? A full entry into that kingdom really occurs, I won't rush now, occurs at the third degree. TDG. And maybe I have ignored that and simply put third initiation into the abbreviations TDG and third degree. Okay. All right. So then you might say, well, maybe a master is the true representative of the fifth kingdom of nature, but I don't think we can wait that long, because by the time we reach the Chohan, he is no longer a man, as are the masters, and he's about to enter the kingdom of planetary lives. So I would say from the time the third degree occurs, we are actually mature members of the hierarchy. Not as mature as a master, of course, but mature members of the kingdom of souls of the fifth kingdom. Certain expansions of consciousness are possible. Initiations on the astral and lower mental planes can take place, can be taken. Some of the vision can be seen. The sense of the presence can be felt. The beloved can be reached. This is mystical terminology. And the bliss and joy of this contact can carry with it its abiding joy. But that clear perception which comes from the experience undergone on the Mount of Illumination is different to the joy experienced on the Mount of Blessing. This is interesting. The heart leads in the one and the head leads in the other. Master DK is making a case for how knowledge must be added to love. And how interesting, Mount of Illumination, let's look here and give a kind of a definition. The Mount of Illumination is the Mount of Transfiguration. I think that is a reasonable assumption. And the Mount of Blessing, well, not the the atomic blessings of the Beatitudes, but earlier blessings. The Mount of Blessing relates more to the second degree. To answer categorically, the path of knowledge is that of the occultist and the sage. To be a sage means to be wise, right? Be a sage means to be wise. That of love is that of the mystic and the saint. Well, let's just say the love path is not necessarily inferior, because eventually universal love has to find itself expressing even in the man of knowledge, as he tells us a little earlier in this section. The head or the heart approach is not dependent upon the ray, for both must be known. Interesting. It is perhaps dependent upon a stage of evolution, the mystic phase, phase comes first, but some retain that tendency. In other words, why our Master Jesus and Master Serapis bound for Sirius. So the head and the heart approach both must be known. The mystic must become the occultist. The white occultist has been the saintly mystic. It is a progression. But as I said, there are ray tendencies which direct the initiates towards the higher paths. And even though the paths are not necessarily ray determined, those paths of higher evolution do tend to accept those on certain rays. For instance, many fifth ray monads may take the second path of magnetic work. Those who are masters of the wisdom rather than lords of compassion may be found upon the ray path. Of course, all seven rays will naturally have to be found upon the ray path, because what arises is the embodiment of certain rays. The man becomes for a time a ray along one of seven lines. True knowledge is intelligent love. Now, this tells us about Venus, the planet of intelligent love. And without the ability to unify with the object under consideration, there is no true knowledge for that loving unification advances deeper knowledge. So true knowledge is intelligent love, the union of heart and mind. And Jupiter is involved in that process as well. For it is the blending of the intellect and the devotion. That's interesting. Now, we do have an interesting case that some sixth-ray souls, wait a second, let's see if I can get this. Okay, a sixth-ray soul. Okay, what I'm going to do this is SXRSL, and that's going to be sixth-ray soul. That's one, and then I'm going to make it plural, you know, and until the day comes when six ray souls, and this is plural, six ray souls. The day comes that whenever I press one of these things, it's going to produce the proper phrase. Okay, some six ray souls, actually merge, onto the third ray, and others onto the second. But that shows us the blend of devotion and intellect. Unity is sensed in the heart. Its intelligent application to life has to be worked out through knowledge. Well, think about the solar angels. They are a blend of love and intellect. Shall I capitalize that? Their generic rays are the second and the fifth, for they are representatives of Sirius with its fifth ray soul, and they fall sacrificially onto the fifth plane. So, you know, we can assess ourselves, do we have that blend of love and knowledge, or do we find ourselves deficient in one or the other? And if we are deficient, when the solar angel of the presence is involved in assigning the rays, the necessary rays for the coming incarnation, that will be taken into consideration. In Letters on Occult Meditation, there is one example of a mystical type who was insufficient in knowledge and therefore was given or assigned a fifth ray personality. So, in fact, this is under supervision. It is of prime value to recognize the tendency of the life purpose and to know whether the head or the heart method is the objective of a specific life. Realizing, of course, that imbalance, let's just say, a serious imbalance is corrected in coming incarnations. A fine spiritual discrimination is needed here, however, lest the glamour of illusion tempt to the path of inertia. That's an interesting phrase because we have two different aspects of misapprehension, glamour and illusion, and he calls it the glamour of illusion. The illusion is so often a question of misinterpretation. Lest the glamour of illusion tempt to the path of inertia. What can we say? Lest we trust that everything will be done for us from above. A reasonable trust and faith is necessary for our integration, and in the Bible it tells us that your faith has made you whole. So ponder these words with care, and we have to make sure that a reasonable faith arises and not one that conduces to a supine attitude which becomes tamasic. Rajas is the stage we're in on the way to achieving sattva. Ponder these words with care and see that the question is based on a true foundation and does not grow out of an inferiority complex, the consideration of a brother's enterprise, and a consequent jealous tendency, or upon a flaccid complacency which negates activity. In other words, we must act and use the rajasic the rajasic guna, as it's called, to advance our development and yet remain unselfish, even as that development is advanced. Well, I think if we have a reasonable understanding of, okay, and here's a guna, we'll add that. We have a reasonable understanding of just how broad life really is and how little we know. Tendency to become depressed about our present state, all tendency to look on jealously at the accomplishments of another, or to remain complacent and self-satisfied with our present stage of development. Through true cold measurement, these things will disappear. It seems ridiculous to be prideful when one realizes that one is a tiny atom or less in the constitution of great lives. You know, that even that great life is but an infinitesimal. Of what kind has yet to be determined. I call it sometimes the absolute infinitesimal. Is but an infinitesimal when compared with absolute infinity. So those the sense of proportion there will prevent us from falling into the trap of pride. As a general rule for the average aspirant to discipleship, note that phrase, discipleship is not easy to attain, and even the stage of Chela in the light, or little Chela, around the first initiation, is not easy of attainment. Everybody assumes that they are definitely an initiate of the first degree, and maybe they can prove that by their adherence to the teaching and their development and their service, but it's not just to be assumed. As a general rule for the average aspirant to discipleship, for which much of this book, I suspect, is written, it may be safely assumed that the past has seen much application of the hard way. So that's already built in. And that this incarnation, in the Aryan race, at a time when our communication systems are so greatly expanded and a reasonable type of education is spreading all over the world, and our technological advancements are amazing compared to the relatively recent past, who knows, in Atlantis. And that in this incarnation, the mental unfoldment is of prime importance. You know, and I would say this, as long as we do not forget the heart. It is easy for some DK students, and maybe I've been one, to emphasize over much the head approach and neglect the still greater impending universal love of Aquarius and of our soul ray, of our planet and of our solar system. It's as if we deal with love, mind, and then a still greater love, and then who knows, maybe a still greater mind, and on. As the ancient scripture says, seek not, O twice blessed one, to attain the spiritual essence before the mind absorbs. Not thus is wisdom wrought. Who's the twice blessed one? Is it, is this one who has achieved two initiations, perhaps? Let's see. Not thus is wisdom sought. Only he who hath the mind in leash and seeth the world as in a mirror, you know, with detached objectivity, can be safely trusted with the inner senses. And we might say of the higher psychism, only he who knoweth the five senses to be illusion, well, a very partial aspect of reality, let us say, and that naught remaineth save the two ahead, and this would be the common sense and the esoteric sense, can be admitted into the secret of the cruciform transposed. This may be the reality behind the symbol of the hanged man, and points to the way that Saint Peter asked to be crucified. I suppose his captors gave him that because it would produce even more pain, they being in the sadistic role. The path that is trodden by the server is the path of fire that passeth through the heart and leadeth to the head. Of course, remember, that there is a heart in the head, always, and that the head contains, all the chakras, or higher correspondences to them, all the higher correspondences to the lower chakras. Correspondences. Okay. It is not on the path of pleasure nor on the path of pain that liberation may be taken or that wisdom cometh. You know, in that movie, The Little Buddha, We have Gautama listening to a music teacher teach a student, and the string cannot be too taut lest it break, or too loose lest it produce no sound. It is by the transcendence of the two. You know, now, so really we're talking about the noble middle path. It is by the transcendence of the two, by the blending of pain with pleasure, and we have to say, as usual, you know, under the fourth ray, FRRY. Oh, okay. Well, let's see what we can do with that. FRRY. FRR. Okay, that's what it is. Fourth ray of humanity. That this blending occurs. You know, I'm reminded of Vivekananda emerging from the ice cave of Shiva, realizing that probably for him at the fourth initiation that pain was as necessary as pleasure. It is by the transcendence of the two and by the blending of pain with pleasure that the goal is reached, that goal that lieth ahead like a point seen in the darkness of a winter's night. Now, and then we go on to some very beautiful description, but we have to transcend the normal pairs of opposites. Perhaps as spirit we can do this. Personality gives pain. Soul gives pleasure of a spiritual kind, and the spirit is neither of those but pure being in its essence. Anyway, the goal for all of us is like a point of light far ahead. That point of light may call to mind the tiny candle in some attic drear. There's the Tibetan using his old language, you know. Drear, dreary, depressing, you know. But as the path that leadeth to the light is trodden, and through the blending of the pairs of opposites, and in this case, this means the vertical pairs of opposites, the blending of soul and personality, that pinpoint, cold and flickering, because it seems inconstant, groweth with steady radiance till the warm light of some blazing lamp comes to mind. The warm light suggests the warmth of solar fire. Till the warm light of some blazing lamp cometh to the mind of the wanderer by the way, which is what we are on our pilgrimage. Pass on, O pilgrim, with steady perseverance, this exhortation, which we must listen to in our darker and more discouraged moments. Pass on, O pilgrim, with steady perseverance. No candle is there, nor earth lamp fed with oil. Ever the radiance groweth till the path ends within a blaze of glory, you know, like the sun, which is also a symbol of the monad. And the wanderer through the night of plains lower than the monadic plane, the wanderer through the night becometh the child of the sun. Why does he use that ancient language? Well, he does because maybe that's really where he was trained in English, being that one of the Eastern masters, at least, who knows English the best. Pass on, O pilgrim, with steady perseverance. No light is there, no earth lamp fed with oil. Ever the radiance groweth, till the path ends within a blaze of glory. There is a glorification, of course, at the third degree, but a still higher glorification when we return to the monadic plane, having completed our pilgrimage through the five lower subplanes, cosmic subplanes of Brahma. Till the path ends within a blaze of glory, and the wanderer through the night. And night is lower vibration, really. So we understand that night is signified by a lower vibration. Till the wanderer through the night becometh the child of the sun and entereth within the portals of that radiant orb. So this is, not only the soul, which is also sun-like, but the highest PV, no, highest periodical vehicle of man, the monadic vehicle, which itself, the Temple of Ezekiel, the temple, TOE, yep, Temple of Ezekiel, there it is. Oh, the satisfaction when one of my abbreviations actually spells something I intended to and time is forgotten. Well, we've completed chapter three with seven programs. This program, of course, being shorter. There is a tendency for the last program to be shorter, as I've been trying to keep my programs to about 1 hour in length, as it's easiest for absorption and easiest for those kind and thoughtful souls who are transcribing this into words. Some of you may like to listen to the video and sort of watch what's going on there, and others may prefer to read. And so now a lot of what I've said anyway, and hopefully not the stupid things, are being transcribed and made available to you. And already on Makara, there are a growing number of verbal worded transcriptions. So you have plenty to study, plenty to meditate about, and the opportunity for service always is presenting itself. So this will be the end of a treatise on white magic. What number is it? Okay, number 28, rule 3.7, and the page, well, looks like page 122, and where did we begin? It's not so far back, so 119 to 122. Okay. So pages 119 to 122, and we will be beginning a treatise on white magic, number 29. Rule 4.1, as we are beginning the fourth rule, starting with page 122. Well, the Tibetan has vast experience. Even 2,000 years ago, he was a great scholar. Was it Arya Sangha in the early Tibetan groups or Buddhist groups? And Master K.H. too, maybe as Nagarjuna. Naga, the wise serpent, Arjuna, the one who battles between the pairs of opposites, Arya, the noble one, Sangha, then the community of the Buddha, the noble community of the Buddha. They started earlier, and they entered upon the path even later than some of us. How we use our time and our abilities is pretty much up to us, and there does have to come a time of awakening when we decide that there's enough waste that has occurred of energies, and we have to buy our experience more wisely. So I'll get this out to you, and Brett can, he will be writing the summaries of these various programs. So there are more that are completed than are now available. That's the general rule, because it takes a while to write those summaries. We're getting near 30 programs. But I just noticed, I was reviewing this with Victoria, and what was it, in the astrology book, some 291 hour-long programs. Well, you know, it's a big project, and hopefully you have people with whom you can share the inquiry as you inquire the way and seek for the answers within your deep self and within the group of soul-infusing personalities with whom you work. So, much love and many blessings to you. And, well, who is anybody to give blessings? Let's just say the soul in me blesses the soul in you, or at least seeks for your uplift, your increased radiation, your progress, your steps forward. Because all of us are really trying to step forward at the same time, and we are ultimately one being in diverse emanations returning to our source, where we realize our inherent and original oneness. See you soon. Bye-bye.